using a multi-omics approach, looking at a person's genome, immune system, and protein function. The authors audited the immune system of 135 people in two age brackets, 20 to 31 and 60 to 96. They then repeated the measurements several times over 9 years. What they discovered was the human immune system follows a predictable trajectory. We can give you a number which says where you are going on this trajectory. That is your immune age, says Shen Orr, and is a very good predictor of all-cause mortality.
Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do we believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
If you had anything to say to the city in regards to, you know, letting people shelter in place, give some heart, what would you say?
I would say just find us a place, an open land, where we can set up a tent and be safe and not have to worry about people bothering us. I have been hated, followed, attacked, and raped out here. It's not what I want to go through anymore. I'm one of the few who did prosecute the dude who raped me, and it was another homeless person. I just want to survive and be safe.
Just want to survive and be safe. That's kind of the parallels for our time. That's Deanne, someone I met on my burrito runs over the last week or so. And Guillermo Mash here, welcoming you to a special segment of the Without a Roof radio program. And this actually was the original time slot. I started this show 5 years ago. And as folks that have been following this program for a while, Youth for Justice, we've been doing a really cool segment called Imagining Community. And I've been did a bunch of embedded journalism at Grub CSA and did some wonderful coverage of Pam Larry's Butte County Local Food Network. They did a Victory Garden 2.0 and the whole installation and got Pam the day that was installed. But I thought Fran Stupenagel from Grub CSA put it best about the same time I started giving out burritos every day. She said, you know, Guillermo, the whole world changed since you've left my farm. I stayed on her farm for 3 nights, her and her partner, their farm. And yeah, so what's happened over the last eight or nine days or so, I've been going out every morning kind of like I used to do. I used to go out on the streets a lot and talk to people and, you know, see how things are going on. And here in the age of the pandemic, it's been a little crazy. So I ended up seeing that the city of Chico, huge shout out to Mark Orm and the city for hiring a homeless services coordinator, Joy Amaro. I made a decision, and I said, I want to do a special show, you know, and somebody willing, God willing, whatever spiritual relief you have, I hope we don't go through another one of these. So anyway, I put together a special segment. And the special segment is this. Going to be able to hear some of these folks from Lower Bidwell. I've been doing a lot of outreach in Lower Bidwell, going into the encampments in the morning, sharing some food, sharing some love, sharing some coffee. And we're blessed. I had an interview that I recorded just today with Ann Schwab, mayor of Chico, around the COVID-19 response, generally speaking, in Chico, and as well as folks that are experiencing homelessness. And I had a wonderful interview. It was really very informative for me with Joy Amaro, who after her first day, actually she was still doing her job. She got off a call to jump on a call with me to do a pre-record. So that's what we're going to hear tonight. And I just want to thank everyone that's out there, you know, frontline folks, people doing food, Or even folks like fellow programmer Brenton. You know, I had a chance to talk to Brenton last night, and he's kind of the person running around doing things for everyone because he's the youngest and the least vulnerable. And I said, "How does that make you feel, Brenton?" And he laughed. But we're all doing the best we can, and that's all we can hope for in these times or any times. And thank you for listening to People Power Radio.
Listener just joining, I do have Ian Schwab on a pre-record interview here on Thursday afternoon, and welcome to KZFR, Ian Schwab.
Thank you for having me here.
And thank you for being your third term. I think this is your third term being mayor, and we really appreciate having you in our community.
Thank you. I really hope that we can focus on going forward, bringing the community together. Actually, I was in the park today, Bill, and there's somebody that I see there fairly regularly, and We stopped, of course, keeping our social distancing, and he said that he was watching the council meeting last week, and he asked his wife, he said, "What political party is Ann in?" And she said, "I don't know." And that reminded me of something that I've been mulling over is, you know, I am a Democrat. But I am so much more than a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all of us are so much more than whatever role or label that somebody puts on us. And this pandemic fits into that as well. It's a huge community issue, but it's only going to be solved by individuals. And what is so ironic is that the individuals have to isolate themselves and can't come together in a community. And in Chico, we are so relationship-based and partnership-based that it's hard. However, we do have those relationships established, and so we're just moving into different ways to relate to each other through technology. Zooming, it has been wonderful. I was familiar with it before, but now it's easy to get business taken care of, connecting with our friends, socializing, and just keeping those connections alive because right. It is more than just one of us, but it is all of us.
Yeah, exactly, and I can't help but add the something I've said a lot, Ann, over the years. The same applies for folks that without a home. There's so much more than the fact that they don't have a home or that they're poor. So I appreciate you leading with that. Our segment tonight is going to focus mostly on COVID-19 response for the city and the at-risk population, mostly folks that are poverty-stricken living outdoors. But I'd like to start maybe, Ann, with just a general proclamation, you know, what you'd say to the listeners of KZFR and folks that will tune in tonight on, you know, how things are going and what you would want them to know.
Well, I would want them to know that the city council members are really stepping up and doing a lot of work connecting people in the community. We saw last Sunday both Councilmember Reynolds and Councilmember Huber helping with the meals distribution in the park. Casey worked with Patrick Newman to locate some pre-prepared meals, and Scott was actually out there at the plaza on that afternoon. That's just two examples of some of the work that the council members are doing. And we're all doing it in our individual circles. Some of them overlap, and people may not see someone working, but do know that everyone cares about our community and are going about it in different ways. And we're working together. Last week, Vice Mayor Brown and Councilmember Huber met with city manager to talk about some housing or some sheltering for people in cars, people in camping spots. What could we do to facilitate that at the city level and mm-hmm. look for opportunities? And so there's another example. So do know that city council is actively working, even though you may not see the results right now, but do know that this is something on all of our minds and we're working in our own circles. And also know that the city management, the city staff are all concentrating on delivering those essential services that we all just take for granted, making sure that our streets are safe and we can access the things that we need at the city. We're trying our best to live within our financial means, no deficit spending or to any attempt to undermine these amazing steps the city has taken in the recovery that we've had from our financial catastrophe. And we're want to make sure that our community members are safe and trying to push out as much information as we can. Another very fortunate hire that we made last month was a public information officer. And before this time, it has probably been 10, 15 years since we had someone who was able to share what the city is doing with the community. One of the most difficult aspects of this pandemic is the lack of information or uncertainty, is I guess what I want to say, is the lack of uncertainty. You know, who is going to get ill? What's going to happen to take care of them? What can I do? And so with a public information officer, we're able to share with what all the things that the city is doing. One thing in particular that I'm doing working with Linda Gizzi, the public information officer, is having a series of talks called Chico Connect. And for instance, I met with the city manager and we recorded a little segment on what the resolution of the local emergency meant. Yesterday, filmed a little segment with the city clerk on how people are going to be able to access council meetings since we're not going to be able to have people in the room with us, but they'll be able to make comments online exactly how we're going to do that. Tomorrow I'm going to meet with Eric Gustafson from Public Works on considerations of the park and making sure that people know that exercise and being outdoors is important, but it's also important to have social distancing. So sending out messages and providing information to our community is so vital so that people have more level of assuredness that the city is working and responding.
That's the first piece of advice I gave to the city manager, Nakamura, back in 2012. And when we were kind of dealing with the whole thing, I said, my biggest recommendation to you, and you're here on campus, find someone with a communication degree, Mark, because you can't possibly over-communicate. So that's a really neat hire. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Listeners just joining, we are talking with Ann Schwab, the mayor of the city of Chico. And she just was given a little bit of proclamation on what she would say to the citizens. But I want to shift a little bit to the community members that are poverty stricken and destitute, you know, on our streets and beyond. And a question I would have, Ann, maybe pick one or two things you think are going well and maybe one or two things that you think aren't going so well that are focuses for the city to rectify.
Well, one thing is that I hope the community understands is the funding that is coming to assist us in the pandemic is coming through the state, and then the state pushes it down to the county. The cities have not received funding directly to help us with this crisis. I signed on to a letter to Nancy Pelosi yesterday asking for some stimulus funds for cities under a half million in population. And I don't know if that'll come through or not, but if that does come through, we'll be able to do some assistance directly. So we're working very closely with the county. And this morning, the county CAO sent a letter to the state specifically asking that we could use the FEMA trailers in our county that are not being used. There's approximately 90 vacant units that we could use to help with our vulnerable population, which would be the homeless. So that is one specific thing that we're hopeful we'll say yes to. One thing that isn't going well, perhaps, would be the ask about using the program. That just seems like it would be a natural solution. Can we open up the fairgrounds? Can we lock off spaces where people can have their 6 feet social distancing, a place where people can store their belongings? They can have meals. But there again, it is the state that makes that call, the state and the county. So that wasn't an easy first solution. So that is something that I wish we could have commandeered right away and found a quick, fast solution.
So I'll shift gears a little bit. There was a lot that Joy Morrow and I had talked about. But the one thing that really hit home for me that was really one of my number one issues after being out on the streets 8 days now, every single morning, is the sweeps of homeless encampments and telling people to move along. The CDC came out with a very strong recommendation a week or two ago that it's not in the best interest for public health and safety to be sweeping homeless people along during the pandemic. And Joy said she was in the middle of actually drafting a letter to the chief of police, driving that point home. And I wanted to know what your take on that was, as far as, you know, continuing to do business as usual, just moving homeless people from one place to another during the pandemic.
Well, I want us to be able to provide services for those that are in need. However, if we don't have services to offer them, then how can we move them along? One of the concerns is that we do shelter in place so that we're only going out for essential needs. And seeing what is the pluses and minuses of, can someone just stay where they are, where they are going to be safer themselves and safer for the entire community, would be my thought. That yes, it would be safer for people to be able to be in a location that might have a roof over their head, might be a place where we could assure that they could be in their own tent or own room, instead of being in a congregate camp, and a place that they could receive food fairly regularly instead of having to go find it. And with the restaurants not being open, I know that people are having a hard time getting something to eat. So we are working really hard to find a place where we could have people still camp in a place where there would be more services, hand washing station, toilets, places that people could eat. Until we get to that situation, I think that letting people hunker in place is a better option.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because I've been just going around to the different hunker in place encampments in the morning, bring coffee, bring some burritos, and have a chat with them and just see how they're doing. And it's a big deal, whether it's a pandemic or not, but we really need to buckle down and make sure that we're not, you know, moving people from one place to another just because we don't like to see them. Now, one spot in particular that I can't find a community member within the homeless community that I've been canvassing, and even in talking with Joy last night, she said it was one of the locations that were given to possibly set up a socially distanced area for people to camp and have services. There's no other better place in the entire city than under the 99 bypass in Lower Bidwell. I mean, I did each individual pylon there is 60 feet apart, and there's 9 of them, and they're three per. So you could actually put 27 tents in that area, and they would be 60 feet apart. And you've got access not only to bathrooms, you've got, you know, an overhang, so they're not going to get wet when the rain comes. But as an advocate, I really would like to see us move on something quickly. Time is ticking away. I mean, do you have any comments on that particular location, or maybe some other locations where we could be setting up a place for folks?
I do know that we're looking at the old Highway Patrol office that the city now owns on First Street and mm-hmm. 99 and Highway 32. That would have restrooms close by, just like you say, in a centralized location. I've floated the idea of perhaps city parking lot. You know, our weather is going to change pretty soon, Bill. It's going to be warm, and yeah, the Highway 99 overpass would give us some additional shading there. That is owned by the state, the underpass, that property.
Interesting. So that's not city. Yes. Just that's like a buy.
It's not
a
city. It is in the city. It is in the park, but it is owned by the state. It's the state right of way.
It seems to me the state would love that idea, because Newsom keeps saying we want to give up with solutions fast. There's a good one. They could make that available.
That might be a possibility. Yes, but I think I was speaking with Addison Winslow yesterday, and his suggestion to me was to find multiple locations.
Oh, absolutely.
Not a one size fits all. And even the Highway 99 overpass would not fit everybody that needs to have a place.
Yeah. You know, when I was doing this 8 years ago, I came up with this before I left Sacramento on my homeless block, in that we need as many small service providers as possible and servicing people where they're at. So exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just because someone is homeless doesn't mean they're not an individual.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own needs, their own desires. Community member, you know, within their community, people they spend time with, and those that they don't. I mean, it's just like we're finding out with family members that this is kind of like what everybody wanted, to be able to spend time with their family, and now
and
they're spending time with their family, and oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe a good way to close this little segment is to share with our listeners and you know, how excited you are for this new position, the homeless service coordinator that Joey Amaro has stepped into for up to 4 months, as I understand it, and, you know, what you think she'll be working on.
I am very thankful that we made the decision to hire a homeless services coordinator, and so thankful that Joey Amaro was available and willing to take on this position. She's qualified, has shown that she has the ability to work on solutions, work on relationships, and get things done.
Like the Larry the Cable Guy would say, she definitely is a get-her-done kind of person.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Any closing comments, Ian?
Just want to thank you for what you're doing and helping communicate to our community. Thank those that are working in public safety, our healthcare workers, those that are providing essential services, the grocery clerks, everyone who is just doing what they can to move our community forward, and just so much love for that.
All right, listen, this is Johnny. That was Ann Schwab on a pre-record. Thank you, Ann Schwab, for all the work that you're doing, and the rest of the council members and city staff, and our underwriters. Love our underwriters. This special segment of the Without a Roof radio program made possible. Generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsoftheArts.art. And by the famous Blue Peace House, a two-bedroom home in downtown Chico. It's missing in my underwriter. I'm going to pencil that in. Sleeping up to six with a redwood deck, gas grill, washer and dryer, piano, and a kitchen stocked with basic supplies. The famous Blue Peace House is available for short or long-term rent and is on Facebook, Airbnb Chico, or call 588-3549. Gonna take a little bit of a break, so to speak. Gonna go over here and mark it as next. But this is a song. This came out early on where people were doing live videos, and this is G.P. Bailey. An artist I've known for years out of Sacramento. He's actually done a lot of work, folksy kind of arts work, music work around the issue of homelessness and social issues. And he put together this really, really cool coronavirus clip, a little live performance. Then we're going to go right into some interviews I did in Lower Bidwell Park over the past week or so. And right after that, we're going to hear from the new hire for the Homeless Services Coordinator, Joy Amaro. And thank you for listening to People Power Radio.
Coronavirus, COVID-19, craziest thing I've ever seen. Stay at home. Stay in your place, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Coronavirus, COVID-19. Go to the store, don't you touch anything. Wear gloves and a mask, and without fail, stay 6 feet away. Try not to inhale coronavirus. Die from no flu, no. When I go, I wanna go quick and sweet. When I'm home in my bed, dreaming dreams, fast asleep. Coronavirus, please go away. Don't come back on some other day. We can't go to the show, there's no sports on TV. The people here freak, they take all the TV. Help me, coronavirus, to keep it away. Don't come back again on some other day. Coronavirus. From no dark blue, when I go, I wanna go quick and sweet. Well, I'm home in my bed, dreaming dreams, fast asleep. Coronavirus, go away, don't come back again on
some other day. The people here freak out, they take off the TP. We can't go to the show, there's no sports on TV. Go away, coronavirus. Go away, coronavirus.
What's your name?
Kim.
Kim, nice to meet you today. I think I've been out here giving burritos. This is my fourth day kind of checking on things. Yesterday, the story was the city was okay as long as you're keeping your camps clean, which you are. The camps are clean. What did they do to this morning? I heard they came by and told everyone to get out of here.
I just heard on the loudspeaker from their truck, like, everyone pack up and leave. So I was just like, where are we supposed to go, move to, or something?
So what would you ask the city manager and the city parks as far as your situation? Where can you go while you're trying to make sure you stay healthy in a pandemic?
That's it. Where can we go? Like, there, like, can't go here, we can't go there, but I don't know. It's more difficult on me just because I have my two dogs and I'm out here by myself. My old man's locked up, so a little harder.
I'm here in another camp that I've been coming to, and they basically came by, and it's getting ready to rain. They said, no tarps, no tents, you know, get it all down. What was your response to that, ma'am, and what's your name?
My name's Paula, and where can you go? He said it's okay to go to the underpass, and they're a little lenient when we go under there as long as it's raining. But if it's not raining, we have to come up from underneath there.
You're going to go to the 99 overpass?
Probably.
Yeah, and hang out there.
I can't put up a rain fly here to keep me dry.
Now, you say you cough, you got COPD, you're at high risk. You seem to be about my age.
Yeah, I'm 58, and I have Graves' disease, too, which is the immune system. You know, so I'm at very high risk. So I'm trying to stay dry and clean. You can't even take a shower nowadays. There's no place to shower, so there's more contaminations.
My understanding, state law, you have to give 48 hours to tell people to leave. It seems like you were given, like, an hour or two.
Yeah, we were given an hour, and, you're supposed to get longer. I'm mentally and physically disabled, and so, yeah, they have to give me notice, proper notice, or they can call Butte County Behavioral Health and talk to them about it.
Yeah, bless you. If you had one thing you say to the city manager, say to Mark Orm.
Bring out the shelters. Bring out the housing, that all them trailers that you brought in, all the millions of dollars you brought with them trailers. Where's them FEMA trailers?
All right, I'm out here with a friend out here on the street. What's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas, nice to see you today. I've been doing updates on my social media, Without a Roof, and my personal pages about how the city's responding to it. What have they told you today, sir, as far as your encampment here?
To get our tents down, pack everything up. We got 2 hours. If we don't have stuff out of here, they're going to take whatever's left to the dump.
So they basically have swept this whole area.
Yeah, and they have absolutely nowhere for us to stay, and they don't really care about us.
That would be my assessment as well. They basically came through all the camps out here. There was three or four people that have been coming out, three or four camps, all the camps.
Yeah, there's about four or five of us out here, and they just, you know, we're an eyesore to them because we have nowhere to go, even though we're not wanting to be in this situation.
So, any final words as far as what you would say to the city manager that's kind of enforcing all this stuff during a pandemic?
Whatever happened to humanity and taking care of our own?
Amen that, brother. Amen that. I'm really upset with the city of Chico. I mean, they got better things to do than coming around here rousing people that have no other place to be. And you've got a nice, clean camp here.
Yeah.
And they got no reason to roust you. So they're going to be back here in 2 hours?
2 hours to pack, and whatever's not packed up is going to get taken to the dump. So, and it's okay for them to come and take our personal belongings and throw them away, but it's not okay for us to take theirs.
Amen that. I had Joy Amoro on the line here, working hard. I guess as I am, I'm volunteering here at KZFR about 7:15 or so here on a Wednesday evening. And this is your first day on the job, right, Joy?
Oh, yes. First day.
And you've got it all under control and the problem solved, I hope. No, just,
just kidding.
I'm glad you're there. You know, for our listeners, I did see the press release. I read part of that introducing you and what your role is. But maybe a little bit more detail on what your roles and responsibilities are with your new position.
Well, it's
a lot of coordination. Obviously, the title is Homeless Solutions Coordinator. And so it's bringing all the different entities that are involved with COVID and especially with the people that are experiencing homelessness to the table, because the city didn't really have a seat at the table. And so this is the voice. I'm the voice representing the city because, you know, you have the county that's operating as the EOC, and then you have, you know, patients, for instance, being discharged from Enloe into Chico, and so it's impacting our city. And so that was, you know, a lot of the representation is around COVID and just coordinating and trying to make a difference, saving lives.
Saving lives, yeah. You know, when you say a seat at the table, which table or tables are you referring to? Which committees or groups are you working with?
Conversation. So today especially was, as my in my previous position as True North Executive Director, True North Housing Alliance Executive Director, I have all of these established partners that we were working with on behalf of our most vulnerable. And so at this point in time, for instance, today I brought together Amanda Wilkinson, who is the Enloe social work lead. I don't know her official title. And then Nancy Miller, who is a public health nurse case manager, to talk. And we had a conference call because there's people that are experiencing homelessness that are being discharged that have been tested. And we need to establish proper protocol as we're testing them. You know, so many times we're operating in silos, and this is actually forcing us to amp up our game with policies and procedures.
Now, when you say they've been discharged after they've been tested, I guess it's hard to keep a moving target, but I heard there was 8 and like 75 tested. So these would be the ones that don't have COVID that they're discharging, or maybe a little more detail on that.
I don't really know. We don't know. All we know is that they are being discharged and they are asking them to be quarantined. So, yeah, so what we're doing.
Where are these people now?
Right. So the CDC practices are the governor has released protocol, which he calls Project Room Key.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so with that project, you are engaging in motel leases. So we're not leases, but renting rooms on behalf of these clients that are going to be discharged. And then they're case managed there.
How many people are being case managed in this space? And that seems to be part of your job description as well, managing this hotel space. Maybe a little more detail on that.
Well, no. So it's twofold. Okay. So prior to this transition into this position, representing True North Housing Alliance last week submitted a proposal to the county that has to go through the EOC processes, and now FEMA's involved. And so we submitted proposals to move 35 highly vulnerable, medically fragile, over the age of 65 people out of the tourist community shelter into motels, because congregate sheltering in for that population is not what the CDC is recommending, and they're asking that we move people out. So we will be moving that population out into motels next week. They still will be connected to their case managers remotely. We're doing everything, you know, over the phone, or Zooming is the new terminology. And then it will have the motels will be monitored by staff as well, because obviously we want to continue the shelter in place model. So it's just more of a recommendation. You know, you need to stay in today, you know, but you're looking at really the chronically ill folks that we will be moving out. And then the other secondary project that will be implemented, again, under the True North Housing Alliance auspices, is that we will be triaging folks that are unsheltered and that meet that criteria of 65 and older, medically fragile, and we will be putting them in motels. And so I can't give a timeline because it's all contingent on approval through the EOC, and we have to ensure that we're meeting FEMA guidelines. And so that potentially could happen next week as well. And so, you know, it's bureaucracy, right? And so we're just having to make sure that all these I's are dotted and T's are crossed so that we can get reimbursed for our efforts.
Listeners just joining, we are speaking with Joy Amoro. He was the day one for, after her day, first day as the City of Chico Homo Solutions Coordinator. Just one quick follow-up. You've mentioned EOC twice. That stands for?
Emergency Operations Center.
And is that something from the county? Maybe a little detail on that for listeners.
Well, I am not well-versed on that quite yet, but it is through the county. And they open the center, like, for instance, when the campfire happened. Everything, all requisitions go through them. So they are the ones that secure the motels, you know, anything. Like, if you need blankets, you put in a requisition and it goes through them. So that is a lot of the coordination pieces that we're still working out, and it's government, you know, so it's right. Not like...
So when people hear the True North Housing, that is the umbrella for the Torres Community Shelter, the longstanding community shelter here in Chico, Joy, or...?
Yes. True North Housing Alliance was formerly Chico Community Shelter Partnership, and we rebranded because they do so much more than just the Torres Shelter.
But focus in a little bit on the Torres Shelter, a follow-up question on the movement that's underway of the at-risk folks at the Torres. I mean, what's the numbers on that? How many people meet the 65 medically fragile that are currently staying at the Torres?
There's about 35 folks.
Wow. See, 35 medically fragile folks at the Torres shelter. Out of how many?
Well, actually, we have dropped. Our census has dropped. And a few days ago, we were at 128. And before the pandemic, we were at 160. We always bounce and have a 3% vacancy rate over there.
So the remaining folks that are there, they're still living in the dorm type situation. Maybe what procedures have changed at the Torres shelter, and give some folks an idea of what the living situation is there.
Sure. So the living situation is the same because, you know, we're implementing the social distancing. We have two dinner or meal times. Each meal has two separate times so that we can put a chair in between each person. We've created more outdoor space so that they can just, if they want to go outside within certain areas, they can, and they can go and, you know, eat out there. We placed a hand washing station, so anyone coming into the building has to wash their hands immediately. We got the hand sanitizer that, like those little pump things that like you get at the hospitals almost, but it's not automatic, with the foaming sanitizer. You know, obviously we've increased our cleaning. We're always on top of cleaning anyways, but our sanitation and, you know, recognizing that being a congregate shelter, you have to follow universal precautions all the time anyways.
Yeah.
And, you know, COVID is what they refer to as an aerosol transmitted disease, an ATD. And so those diseases are like tuberculosis. They're airborne, right? And so we're used to mitigating things anyways. Obviously, this is more severe. So we're just doing our best. I do want to also indicate that, you know, this is a temporary assignment with the city. And so I have stepped down in the interim from as the executive director of True North. And so the new interim director is Matt Reed, and he was my deputy. So that happened effective today. Still, there's going to be overlap trying to coordinate with the city, with the county, and then just letting the staff know, for instance, at the Torres shelter that, okay, this is the game plan. I just got the go-ahead from the city that or the county that we're going to move these folks out. And then they will initiate all of that.
So in essence, Mark Orem, the city manager, is doing the best job he can to kind of partition the work for the workload of all the different things he's got to deal with. So you're kind of the go-to person in regards to COVID and at-risk houseless population for 90 days. Did they give you like a contract? How many days?
It's up to 4 months. You know, we don't know what's going to happen.
are you going to be administrating the money that's come in from the state? Maybe give us whatever insights you have at this point of how much money is coming came into Butte County, whether that's paying for, you know, your 4 months, or, you know, what can our listeners expect is coming into the county and the city to address folks that are unsheltered in a shelter-in-place model?
So as far as if you're asking about my salary, there is no money that's new money that's coming in to pay for that.
Okay.
I don't, you'd have to ask Mark Orm where that money's coming out of.
Okay.
The money that is coming into the county was $473,000. Part of that money was specifically allocated to the COC, which is the Butte County-wide homeless continuum of care. And they redirected the funds to the county to administer through the home project, the home division.
Uh-huh.
And then part of that fund was given directly to the county to utilize. So basically what happened was once we knew that the money was coming, that the county then engaged in conference calls with all the service providers in town or in the county that shelter. So Orville Rescue Mission, Catalyst, the Jesus Center,
right.
Torres Shelter were on this call.
Chat, too? Or is it just emergency shelters only?
Yeah, it was just emergency shelters.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then it was like to determine, you know, this is what the money can be used for, and this is how you access it. And, you know, that was basically the calls. And so everyone has their own specific needs. And so then they submitted basically proposals, if you will,
right,
about what they wanted to do. And then the county is engaging in MOUs with the service providers. So that's how the money is coming into the city. So, for instance, the Jesus Center is going to do meals and meal delivery to the vulnerable populations in the motels. That's what they've committed to. So they're waiting on the county to secure the motels so Torres Shelter can put the people in the motels so they can deliver the food.
Right.
It's a huge domino effect. So everyone is engaged in their own way and just working on behalf of our most vulnerable.
The most pressing question for me is just a number to me. It seems like there's only enough shelter beds for maybe 10% of the folks that are quote-unquote unsheltered. So what's the plan for people that are actually living outdoors? Any of your scope for roles and responsibility to address that?
Sure, exactly.
So let's land on that, because I've been doing a lot of outreach and feeding people, and I've got some really poignant interviews that I'm airing during this show. But, gosh, how are we going to help these folks, Joy?
Right. So that's definitely on my radar. We have a plan. It's not definitive yet. So as we are going out and doing outreach to triage,
mm-hmm,
right, that we also will be engaging through the other population or the population that can't go into motels and educating them. I can't go into detail because, like I said, it's not definitive, but mm-hmm, I definitely have plans in place, ideas in terms of more hand washing stations, more essential services, and getting them what they need as well.
Like food.
And yes,
simple medical, right?
Yes. Like I said earlier, that because of the pandemic, this is forcing us to come together and thinking outside of the box, being creative with resources, and just bringing everyone to the table. We have to be proactive. We can't, if we wait and be reactive, we're going to lose lives. That is, the unsheltered population is actually my focus moving forward.
So it seems like, you know, we've got this infrastructure in place to, you know, for the emergency shelters in the city and the county, and you'll just be kind of coordinating that. But you see most of your desk being, gosh, what are we going to do with the folks that are out by the creeks and in the parks and in the plaza?
Yes.
It's been a kind of a continuing story for me, Joy, some of the interviews I'm doing. But I've been going out and giving burritos, and every day it's a different story. But I thought the story was good about 3 or 4 days ago, that the city parks were kind of going, hey, just keep your camps clean, you know, and shelter here in place. That's not what's going on. They're going into these camps and they're moving people along just like it was before the pandemic. And I have a really big concern with that. Not only that is, you know, There's a Martin versus Boise that says you can't criminalize folks for being outdoors. But more importantly, in this age of the pandemic that we're living in, Joy, the CDC came out with a very strong statement a couple of weeks ago that said you should cease doing sweeps immediately. That is not helping the pandemic. So I just want to know what your thoughts are on that. I'm going to talk with Ann Schwab more about it. But as a citizen, I think that's a really bad process that we're following.
Right. So obviously today was my first day. That is my computer is open to send the chief of police an email requesting, you know, a meeting. And I know the CDC guidelines. You know, that is what I am going to be asking for. Encampments are not supposed to be broken up. And what we're supposed to do is we go in and just ask them, okay, hey, can you be 6 feet apart? You know, let's move your tent over a little bit, you know. But also looking at, you know, the holistic needs of each individual. And, I mean, this is where the true outreach comes in, meeting them where they're at, getting them, you know, the resources, the things that they need, and connecting them to the resources. I mean, this is the time. This is the movement, the momentum to make a difference, and it continuing making that difference after the epidemic or the pandemic is over.
Let's land a little bit on the outreach, because I've been doing that now for about a week. And a couple of observations I've made and talking with some of the folks I, you know, neighbor with, the idea is, you know, people could do like a neighborhood watch, right? So there's certain camps that I've been going to. There's certain areas I go to every single solitary morning. I bring them burritos. I talk to them. I see how they're doing. You know, what's the lay of the land? There's absolutely no doubt in my mind, zero, from the experience I have here in Chico specifically, that if the target team knows where these encampments are, and I agree with the target team or the state parks to the extent, hey, we don't want people trashing places, give them bags, keep it clean, like, you know, keep it sanitary. I have no doubt that if people knew where these camps were, we could get volunteers like me that would go out there and, you know, help to do outreach. And what would you say around that, around these different?
Absolutely. No, that's part of my plan. There's definitely four different groups engaged in this outreach component.
Does it include food?
It includes everything.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be beautiful, Bill. Just wait. And we're like on the verge of, it's that whole funding thing, the contingency on funding. But I believe activities will start moving forward starting tomorrow. It hasn't all been solidified, but no, I have four groups coming together on this effort of volunteers doing the outreach, doing everything that needs to be done.
Yeah. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It's just amazing. People are so happy to see me and just kind of neighbor with me and kind of talk to me. For listeners just joining, we are speaking with Joy Amaro, and she's on her very first day as the homeless solutions provider, temporary position, as I understand, for up to 4 months to help with the response for COVID-19. But the age-old story, since I've been doing this 8 year home, people that are outside, unsheltered, move to where they're told to move. And there's kind of like one space where they've given a little bit of breath, quote-unquote breath, within Bidwell Park, Lower Bidwell Park. And that's under the 99 overpass. And I absolutely see no freaking reason why that area shouldn't be set up for distancing camping. Yeah, I was just out there today. That's part of my route, Joy. And literally, you could have 27 tents, you know, in one specific place with porta potties and hand wash stations.
Uh-huh.
And that is an amazing spot for folks. They're familiar with it. If it happens to rain, that's not a problem. It's almost set up to be a camp area. I don't know what you think about that, but for me, that's been working this beat for coming out of semi-retirement. That's what I'm telling folks, you know, because I was kind of semi-retired from without a roof. But anyway, we need more shelters, and that spot is perfect. It's perfect. But what would you say? And maybe you have some other spots in mind.
Right. So there was a list that was provided to me of all the different ideas that the council has been looking at. And so it's exploring every idea and leaving truly no stone unturned to come up with the best solution. as I mentioned before, like they're not recommending necessarily the tent cities, but one of the things that the smaller the encampments, the easier it is to manage. I was very involved, for instance, during the campfire with Red Cross, and they had the tents, you know, outside, and there was like, my memory, it was like between 80 and 90 tents to begin with. And they were so, do you remember how close together they were?
Yeah.
And
we don't want that.
We don't want that. No, I don't want that.
But you wouldn't get that underneath the 99 overpass, because each individual pylon is like, I didn't walk it off with my feet or get a measurement out, but they're a good 70 feet apart. So literally, if you put a tent on each pylon, you would have tents that are 70 feet apart, and you could fit about 21 of them. And it just sets up perfect to have the distancing.
Right.
And that's a spot where the city parks are already familiar with. But this is my concern, which caused me some angst today. And I like the term no stone unturned, but we need quickness. I mean, we have a spot right now that literally, if people knew they could go there, we could set it up tomorrow. I'm really concerned that we can keep talking about this until, you know, this whole thing has passed. But this is like a crisis right now, and I know you know that. But
I don't know if you know me well enough, but I am a mover and a shaker, and so it's top priority. So I obviously can bring ideas and concepts and advocate. And then I have to bring it to the team, right, of the city of Chico. And some of what we're talking about doesn't have the money that's coming to the state or the county isn't an eligible cost. So then we have to figure out, okay, well, then how are we going to pay for that?
No, I'm ecstatic to hear that's going to be your primary focus. And I don't know you as well as some other folks, but I talk to Chad a lot, and they love you. And if you've got good grace for Chad, my Chico Housing Action Team folks, I know you're out there doing good work, Joy. Maybe any closing comments or any information links that we can put out there that we might not have talked about?
One of the things, I did talk to Chad today, and one of the things that I really want to push is for their Housing Now program and their master lease program. So I want to put out there that we know that, for instance, there's a lot of vacant housing right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the students left. If anybody has a house they would be willing to rent to Chat on behalf of our most vulnerable for housing in a master lease concept, we need to do that. The only thing that solves homelessness is housing.
Boom.
And the only thing that can protect them from COVID is housing. So I really, really want to push that message. So anyone that has a rental that is vacant, to contact Chat. They will take on as many houses as possible.
Wow, this will be a continuing story. I'm thinking of maybe doing a segment a week, you know, during the pandemic. So if I do decide to do that, I think it would be nice to kind of get a weekly update from you, because there's a fair amount of people that listen to this radio, and it's a nice medium for getting information out, you know, and I'm just blessed to be able to do that. Please get involved with some of these other groups too, like the Chico DSA or, you know, Safe Space. I know Safe Space has a lot of volunteers that this is their bailiwick as far as working with folks that are, you know, in an unhoused situation, and they got some really unbelievable volunteers that are able to do outreach and stuff like that. So,
Bill, those are the four entities. Those are the four groups: Safe Space, DSA, MVRCH, and Mutual Aid. Those four are all engaged, and they're ready. The proposal was submitted to the county. We're waiting for the MOU to engage. And so that is all being funneled through True North Housing Alliance. I know it doesn't seem like we're moving fast enough, but believe me, we really are. We're doing everything in our power to make this happen. And I have, in my opinion, the best people wrapped around me.
Oh, I know people in all those organizations. They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, joining, that was Joy Amaro. And I interviewed her yesterday on the first day as the Chico Homeless Services Coordinator, and you are listening to a special segment of Without a Roof, made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Apothecary Options, a compounding pharmacy specializing in bioidentical hormone replacement for women. and testosterone replacement for men. More information is available at Apothecary Options 345-7979 or visit them online, apothecaryoptions.com. And by Robert Amendola and Associates, a law corporation providing legal representation for accident victims of any kind. Robert Amendola and Associates can be contacted at 916-924-8787. And Hmong translation available, 916-599-0039. And ask for Mr. Yang. I did this whole segment in an N95 mask, actually. It makes it a little more difficult with the underwriters, I think. But with all that said, Beatle Nation's in the house. I got a few more interviews with folks on the streets. And always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.
All right, I'm here with one of my favorite people. It's one of the first visual journalism stories I did in Chico in 2012, Mama Rose's Sunday Dinners. And Mama Rose does canning to help support that. And she hasn't been able to do her dinners because none of the recycling's open. So a bunch of us are coming alongside Mama Rose. She said she needed 50 this week. And friends of what I'm doing have tossed down 25. So she's going to be able to do her meal on this Sunday. And with no further ado, Mama Rose, tell us a little bit about Mama Rose and your Sunday meal and what's going on for you out here.
It's like every day. It's a job. I don't know how to... This is actually, I want to know what they're going to do with this homeless, what I want to know. I don't think they say we all have to be in. Well, if you ain't got a home, how are you going to be in? I mean, I'd really like to know that.
I've been asking some of the houseless community, Mama Rose, this question, in that the way the 99 overpass is set up with the pylons, they're spaced about 60 feet apart. You could have like 27 tents in there, and they'd be 60 feet apart, and that'd be a wonderful place for people to have. Think about that place for a quote-unquote managed camp during this crisis.
I think it's perfect too.
It is fucking perfect.
Personally, though, you need somebody that's going to stand up and make sure that they do what they're supposed to, the garbage, clean up after them. If they can't do that, they don't need to be there.
Yeah, I stand with you with that, and I stand with the city rangers as well. That's kind of their MO. They're like, hey, you know, we're trying to give more leeway, and if you keep your camp clean, you're likely not to get any problems. So keep your camp clean, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to, I don't know, a lot of them listen to me, so I've been trying, but it's hard right now, it's panic going on, it's like...
Yeah. Any closing comments, Mama Rose?
I love y'all.
There you go.
I need to know.
Here, I'm here with, what's your name?
David Rainier.
Hey, David, nice to talk with you again. Yes. You know, I was telling him how I just came from the 99 Bridge, which is part of my burrito and coffee run, and... there's some folks encamping there, and it's almost perfect for social distancing. You got those pylons that are like 50 feet apart. You just set a tent on each pylon. But anyway, David, tell us a little bit about your living situation, and you're out there a fair amount, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm all over the city. I go from the airport down through the park to the plaza over to here. I like it over there at the overpass. It's quiet. It's cool. It's shaded. And it's a good place to go out of the rain. Uh-huh. Me and the Rangers are real tight. They always see me cleaning up when I get there. I clean up while I'm there, and I clean up before I leave.
Yeah.
They give me trash bags. We're on a first-name basis. That's a pretty cool thing, you know, to be with a Ranger. Yeah. The police come in. They all happen to know me, but they know me differently. I'm not a criminal.
Yeah.
I'm not a hooligan. I'm not out there spilling trash or cussing and causing a scene. I'm more of the type behind the scenes, cleaning up, doing the micro trash, you know.
Right.
You know, whatever I can, whenever I can.
I was talking to Ben, and I think his name was Bradford. I said to him, thank God these stereotypes ain't true, because they say every homeless person litters. God damn, you couldn't even walk through the park if that was true. There's tons of people like you. What would you say to that? A lot of people help keep this park clean.
Good. We all live here.
Right.
We all live here.
Yeah.
Hey, the saying goes, we don't poop in our own backyard. This is our backyard. Come on. You know?
Any final words as far as this whole pandemic?
Yeah.
A lot of us have been talking about maybe using that area under the bridge as a place that people could have a safe camp. What would you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. It's shelter. It's away. It's quiet. And it can be watched. They can be, you know, what's that? Watch so, you know, there's not all the other stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a great location. And as I'm kind of formulating that, I'm kind of like, it'd be nice to get folks in the houseless community to kind of assist with that. Would that be something you'd be willing to kind of help with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, you know, like my saying for 2020, we can't help one another. What good are we?
Boom, Damon. I like, yeah.
You know, my last year's saying was, you just gotta love it. Because if you don't love it, you shouldn't be doing it. And I see a lot of people out here doing stuff that they don't really like to be doing. Why are they doing it? Hmm. You know, they're ruining their day, they're ruining mine.
There you go.
You know, I like to clean up. I just do. All because right. This is my backyard, man. This is where I live. There's a marble that I live on.